Welcome to the Best Ever You Show with your host, Elizabeth Hamilton Garino, CEO and founder of the Best Ever You Network, helping you live your life to the fullest. How? Real people, including celebrities, real advice, real places, products, and businesses, real life stories. It's all right here for you with this radio show, printed magazine, websites, community, and more. Remember to visit us online, too, at besteveryou.com. And now here's your host, CEO and founder of the Best Ever You Network, Elizabeth Hamilton Garino.
Well, good afternoon, everybody. It's been a while since we've been on the radio here, and we've got one of our favorite guests with us for the... I think we're going to do a half-hour show today, aren't we? Half-hour, 30-minute, anyway. Well, whatever we end up. But we've got Gary Kobat with us again. And I'm affectionately calling this our wake-up call show, or just our wake-up call. And he's here with us for a while to talk about awakening and what does it mean and how you can use this next, you know, however long we go, 30 minutes, hour, whatever we do here, to improve your life. Really reach your full potential and see life as it is full of, as Gary always says, endless possibilities, and learn to live consciously and to awaken on all levels, become aware and mindful. And I want to welcome Gary to the show. Hello, hello.
Hi, Elizabeth. How's it going?
It is going very well. You've got a little bit of drizzle going on, and we've got that bluebird Tahoe, even though I'm not in Tahoe, kind of main beautiful bluebird day where there's not a cloud in the sky.
Amazing. And, you know, every time we talk, it's always, you know, warm and sunny, and we're talking about sunrises and sunsets, but today we're talking about drizzle. We're talking about nourishment. I mean, the plants and the air gets cleaned out, and the, you know, plants get green, and the streets get cleaned, and we're in sweaters, and it feels awesome, and it's a great piece of variety, but it's life. It's the human experience, you know. It changes, and it changes moment to moment, and that's what I want to talk about today, is this call to awaken. And again, not intimidate anybody, but just keep it simple and kind of create, you know, this half hour or so of space. I call it creating space, where we can just let our hair down and, you know, unbutton the top button a little bit or unloosen the tie and just relax and talk a little more deeply about awakening, and again, not getting intimidated or just tying it into just spirituality or religion or anything like that, but just what are we here doing? You know, what are we doing actually is an amazing place to start, because we react. We're these beings of reaction all the time, and we're looking to the outside of ourselves for this happiness. Because it's all about being joyful, being happy, enjoying ourselves here, having fun. But how do we connect to fun? How do we connect to happiness? And that's a personal responsibility. It's kind of a mindfulness. And I always start with reestablishing peace. You know, getting out of angst and frustration and overwhelm and pain. And reestablishing peace. So if we took a look at the bigger picture, it's that. How do we reestablish peace as we connect to who we really are? Because when we connect to who we really are, it's peaceful. It flows. It's effortless. It's not living life uphill. It's living life, it just flows. It happens. So I always say, life doesn't happen to us. It happens for us. Everything, all our experiences, all our events in our life, it's a moment-to-moment experiential, and it's an opportunity for us to reconnect to ourselves, or what we call awakens. It's another way of saying awaken. For instance, if you're buzzing through your home and you stub your toe, bingo, it's a call to awaken. So you either have a broken toe or you have pain, right? And this pain is a wake-up call in the very simplest sense, you know. And this pain in your toe is this wake-up call to, like, whoa, I was going a little too fast there, or I wasn't watching where I was going, or I wasn't consciously aware of what I was doing, or I was just habitually doing something through that corner that I always take 17 times a day, 365 days a year. So I was just automatically doing things. And that's where we start to lose who we really are, is where we get into these habits and we go so fast. So people like, you know, 26 seconds ago and, you know, all these commercials, right, with all these, like, you know, smartphones and things like that. And it's like, whoa. If you take a look at from the Eastern perspective, it's more about slowing down. Not slowing down and being inefficient and not getting enough done. It's actually less is more. And what I mean by that is when we slow down, we observe more. We're more connected to who we are. We're more in touch with who we are and what we desire. And that's what it's all about. But what we find ourselves, moms that are raising kids and have the little league going on and the career and we've got the relationship in the family and the one-on-one relationship, and then you've got relatives and so forth and birthdays and friends and all of that. Before you know it, you've given all your power away to everything and everybody. Why? Because you just got a big old heart. But you forget yourself. And this giving away our power, there's a reason for that. And it's usually deep, deep, deep down inside, and it's not that deep. But it's deeper than just surfacey things and just habitual things. And this call to awaken, we transform pretty quickly when there's pain. I always say pain is the wake-up call. And pain could be the stub of the toe, you know, when I got a new hip in my athletic career, and I'm like, oh, my gosh, my career is over, right? And I don't want my career to be over. And that was a wake-up call. So I sat in there and pitched the tent for about a day and was a victim and felt sorry for myself and so forth and so on. But no, it was a call to awaken. What was the awakening? And that was turning 50, looking 40, feeling 30. Mm-hmm. Working your way back. Teaching, having the opportunity to reconnect to who I really am. Oh, I'm not an athlete anymore, so I have to just be a speaker, you know, or just a writer. Why? You know, one of my good friends, Melanie, she's got no arms and no legs. And we've done half Ironman triathlons. Mm-hmm. And if, you know, like people ask me, well, where do you go? You know, like, you know, how do I get motivated? And I'm like, moment to moment, there's a piece of motivation in front of us. But it's really touching us inside. We're responsible to inspire and motivate us. But Melanie, I'll tell you what, she's always got a smile on her face. She's got this just completely peaceful and inspirational look on life. No arms, no legs.
Yep.
So
amazing,
I regularly run across people who have stubbed their toe, right? Or, you know, the Little League program, right? There's always stuff going on with the moms and the dads and the team and the kids and the and there's a lot going on. I mean, there's a lot to that's happening. You got growth and you got athleticism and you've got parenting and you've got, you know, egos and you've got, you know, achievements, and then you've got some kids that haven't quite connected to themselves. And I love that Little League process. I was a Little Leaguer myself and learned a lot. I woke up a lot, you know. I was always a very, very good athlete, one of the better athletes, right? But I had to learn being humble and had to learn, you know, and had a big ego at one point and had to, like, soften that a little bit. And it taught me a lot, even as a young man, you know, Little League hockey, Little League baseball, and so forth. So it's like, how a world-class athlete talk about, you know, awakening? I mean, it happens every day. How can I do that? I'm a human being. And an athlete, if everybody doesn't really realize, and when you really are achieving at an elite level, you have to be awake. You know, one small wrong, even balance on a bike, and you're in a rut or in a pothole or, you know, taking yourself out of a race or and so forth and so on. So it's really about being in touch. And I know I've talked for a couple of minutes here, but one of the most impactful experiences I've ever had about reconnecting not only to myself but watching somebody reconnect to themselves, and I'm sure a few people out there have had this experience, and it's a touching or emotional experience. It's when my dad was dying, and he called me into the hospital room, and he wanted to have a conversation. I was like, Dad wants to have a conversation? Okay. Well, I went in there, and we talked for 30 minutes, and I've never seen him more connected to who he really was. because he had issues with his health his entire life, that I knew him as an awakened human being in my teens and then as a young adult, and had issues with numbing agents and things like that, where he never wanted to look at his pain. And these were wake-up calls to him. So I'm very, very in touch and in tune with this pain being a wake-up call in my own life. But what I watched was 30 minutes of my dad being my dad, 100% completely peaceful, completely in touch with himself, completely knowing who he was, completely giving me fatherly advice. He knew he was dying, and he knew any day now he would be dead. And that's what happens. And again, I'm sure many people have had the similar experience, and that is right before we transition out, and again, remember, our spirit's always with us and always left behind in each one of us, but the body transitions out. As you get resolution, you get in touch with who you really are. And I'm like, why wait until the very end?
That's exactly what I was going to say. Why do we have to wait that long? Can we back
well, we
it up
don't.
A bunch of years?
Yeah. You know, it's like we don't. I mean, don't get me started, right? And I know we want to keep this to a tight window here and give as many tools as we possibly can. But the United States leads the world in deaths that are preventable. Leads the world. Okay? 191 countries, we lead the world. We're 42nd in life expectancy. Our infant mortality rate is higher than any industrialized nation. Nearly 70% of us are overweight and obese. Okay, a night in the hospital in the United States is 5.6 times the cost of Japan. You know, health care, poor health, is a major cause of 60% of bankruptcies. You know, and so you would think we get a lot more health care for a lot less money than anybody else in the world. Nope, it's the other way around. So why do I bring that up? Well, who knew that? You don't hear politicians, leaders of our country, you know. And again, it's not a political thing. It's not one side of the aisle or the other, because we can talk about both sides of the aisle if you want. I mean, our president smokes, okay? Yuck, right? Our ex-vice president had, what, 5 heart surgeries and then a new heart. I mean, that cost us taxpayers over millions of dollars. And bless his heart. But the point is those are preventable. So, you know, healthcare is a preventative opportunity. You know, I talked about stubbing your toe. We talked about being athletic. You know, underneath every one of us is this incredibly fine-tuned, amazing machine called our body. And some people more than others layer it and 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 layer it with fat weight, protection, emotional protection. So, again, we're talking about awakening, and awakening is a moment-to-moment practice. Okay? Every experience we have is an opportunity to awaken, and that's awaken into ourselves. Okay? So we're not looking for happiness out there. We're looking for happiness inside, and it's reestablishing peace within ourselves. So some dad goes flying off the handle in the Little League, and you're like, oh, my God, and you start judging him, and how could he do that to his kid, and oh, my gosh, and what do I say to my kid, and all of this, and you're reacting, and you're reacting, and you're reacting, and I'm just like, no, peaceful, this is somebody who's not connected to himself. He's connected to the other part of himself. So when we talk about awakening, is we got to awaken to actually how we're wired. You know, we're wired. We've got this core self, I call it, this original, authentic, truthful, powerful, inspirational light of self. And then we've got these acquired scars or stub-toenesses along the way, watching moms and dads abandon us, or they're, you know, again, at an early age, I had an opportunity to turn into one of those unhealthy, you know, alcohol drinking type people that just completely disconnected from himself. And that was aunts and uncles and all sorts of people in our family. And I didn't. I chose another path. People asked me why. I just knew inside my heart that didn't fit me. And I just feel blessed that I chose early on not to go that path. Because who hasn't said to themselves, gosh, my mom used to say that. Oh, gosh, I sound like my dad, you know? Well, we do, because we have tendencies. We have DNA. We have cellular wiredness that can go that way. And all of their beauty and all their perfectionism and all their amazing things about mom and dad and grandma and grandpa. But we can also go the not-so-good things or the things we never knew that's how they operated because we never really saw it, but it's starting to come out in us. And then we went, oh, I remember mom did that once. So this awakening is, who are we? Well, we're like two parts of us, the light and the dark, the awesome and the challenged. And so how are we making our decisions? So we're talking about awakening. This awakening question now is, knowing we're two parts, we can make it from a light or love spirit standpoint and decision about ourselves or other people, or we can make it from this twisted, dark, you know, we've called it the shadow. Mm-hmm. We've called it dark. We've called it wounded, right? We've called it all these words. I prefer to call it the little kid. The little pissy, little temperamental, little emotional reactionary kid.
Temperamental kid.
And, right. And why do I do that? Because that's a little more human, and we remember when we were that way, or if we could look at any moment as, you know, a 50-year-old, we're still that way, you know. And we catch ourselves. And what do you do when a kid's, like, whipped out and spinning out, you know? You give them a little, your arm around them, and you give them a little care and say, look, it'll be okay. Or if they're really out of control, you give them a time out, right? Well, who's doing that to you? Who's calling timeouts for you?
Exactly.
Right? Who's putting their arm around you, Elizabeth? Who's putting their arm around you, right, when mom and dad aren't there or your partner isn't there, your kids aren't there? Well, who's putting their arm around you? You need to put your arm around you.
Yeah.
Who's calling timeout on you? You need to call a timeout.
Let me ask you a question. If you don't learn how to do that, which I've kind of learned how to do that through the years. I always say that, you know, I could be the best alcoholic ever or the best drug user ever or the best, you know, the best addict of something ever. Because, if you know, when I do something, I do it. And I put both feet and my whole soul into it, you know, kind of thing. But I choose not to do that. I intentionally, for example, live my life not using drugs, not smoking, not choosing alcohol, you know, not doing all these self-abusing things to sort of comfort in place of that own arm around myself.
And that's, again, an opportunity to awaken to what's really going on. And what's really going on in those situations are a couple different ones I'll address. Number one is we numb ourselves with food, gambling, sex, you know, Bill Clinton, right? Those kinds of things that needed some therapy. Drugs, alcohol, Whitney Houston.
Yeah.
We numb ourselves, you know, John Belushi, you know, on and on and on, right? We numb ourselves because we don't want to feel our pain. Yet pain is the switch. Pain is the doorway that we need to walk through. Pain is the transformational catalyst. If you look back at your own life, I look back at mine. If anybody out there looks back at their life, I bet they can go one, two things pretty quickly, like, ah, I was in such pain, I made a different choice. I changed the course of my life. Car accident, you know, anything, you know, is usually came from some sort of, ah, I just despise this feeling I'm feeling. I want to get out of this feeling. So
when you ignore that,
and you numb it, you just prolong never really touching base to your core light, your core authentic self. Because the other thing I wanted to touch on was you said it. Whatever you put your energy to, you're going to create. So if you put your energy into heroin, you're going to be an amazing world-class heroin taker.
An addict. Woo, yeah.
Yeah, and it's an addict. We get addicted to chocolate. We get addicted to things, right, habitually by not facing. those are off-ramps, I call it. So you're heading down the interstate, boom, 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 and you go, oh, man, I'm going to take that joy. I'm going to smoke that doobie. And then, boom, that's an off-ramp. And then what happens? You sit on your butt, you're on the couch, and you don't get off, and you don't face your pain because you can't feel anything. You probably overeat, and your life slows down for 2 or 3 days until it leaves your system. Okay? I mean, I work with a lot of people that have substances, all these off-ramps. So they're just not facing themselves, and they get intimidated, and they're scared because they don't want to know themselves. But it takes courage. It is a practice. But to get in touch, they're going to have to understand, whether they read or do some therapy or get some assistance in some of these areas, they need to trust that they're wired amazingly. Whatever they do put their energy to, they will create, whether it's a job or triple their income or a relationship or developing, raising kids or responding and revolving from someone they lost in their family. They'll achieve anything they really put their heart, not their head only, but their heart, heartfelt, peaceful, coming from peacefulness. So this addictions are numbing. They're just not facing. They're denial. So all addictions are denial. And they're denying themselves their true self. Overtraining. Jeez, work with that. All sorts of people.
Yeah.
I'm going for a run.
You're going for a run, Matt? Are you not going for one of those 50-mile runs, are you?
Yeah, I'm done with this conversation. I don't want to be on the radio anymore. I'm going for a run. No, this is an opportunity to what? Awaken. Get in touch with Elizabeth and anybody else who's listening. So this awakening is really reconnecting with our core self, our authentic self, our light. Here's another way to explain it. Remember movie theaters? Some of them still this way, smaller towns, and some in the past. The projection room way up in the back of the movie theater, they'd have this huge projector and this big reels of cinema film.
Sounds like Maine.
And they'd load these big reels of the movie, right?
Yeah.
So you've got this film on the reel going through the projector, and what's behind the film? Light bulb. Well, guess who our core self is? The light bulb. And guess what the film is? How we view today's event or that moment's event. What glasses are we looking at? Are we looking through, the life and what's happening right now through our light or our woundedness or our dark or our little kidness, as we'd like to start to call it.
Go ahead.
Well, that's a consciousness. That's a slowing down, pausing, right? So I was on the TV the other morning on a morning show, and they said, "Well, how do you start that?" And I said, "You pause." And the two anchors looked at me like, "What? I thought you'd give me a better answer than that kind of look."
Pausing.
You know, like pause. And I went, "Yeah, you pause, because if all you got is got to do this, and this and this, and then I'm going there, and then I'm going there, and then I'm going there, and we're going to pack the bags, and we're going to go get the kids, and we're going to Little League Field, and then we're going to go to dinner, and then we're going to meet grandma, and we're going to boom, 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 and then guess what?
Yeah.
You're numb.
Yeah.
You're numb. You've given your power away to some checklist. And I'm not saying your days you got to ratchet it up and get a bunch of things done with the kind of family, kids, and all that stuff you've got too, and some of the clients I work with. But there's other times where you got to pause. You got to reconnect with who you are and what do you really desire, and not lose yourself. How many times have we seen or been in a relationship where, oh, geez, I just lost myself, completely given away the power to the partner, and I don't even know who I am anymore. Something's out of balance. And you know intuitively, deep down inside, something's off. Well, you're not going to come from your best self, your highest best self, your light, that light bulb from the movie projector, when you're imbalanced, unless you pause. So pain, like people, oh, why did that happen in my life? Or, you know, why did I pull my hamstring? You know, because it's at life telling you, slow your butt down and take a few days off. So some people, to really reawaken, have to take a day off, have to take a moment off, have to take an hour off, have to take a day off, have to take a week off. I know some people have to take a month off. I know some people that start to realize after taking a day off, that felt good. Like I have an Ironman. Yeah. I asked them to take 2 days off. Oh, 2 days off? Are you crazy? Oh, the first day of 2 days, within 4 hours, I must have got 12 emails from him. I'm like, dude, you just replaced running, swimming, and biking with internet addiction, you know? I said, turn the computer off. You need 2 days off. Oh, my God, he was shaking that first day. And by the second day, the third day, which is his first workout training session after 2 days off, he had the best workout ever.
Mm-hmm.
And then they go, oh, that was cool. How do I do that again? Or they don't believe it, and they're like, oh, that was just an aberration, right? No, this little time, this pause, quiet time, silence, or a day off is intelligent. It's like sleep, you know? Our Creator gives us sleep to re-heal, reconnect, rebalance, re-nourish. Little guys inside our body are going to town, rebuilding us. But
I like
we steal from our sleep.
We do. We do lots of things to...
I'll just take it out of my sleep, you know?
Great sabotagers of ourselves. I love how you say this. You say, understand how your behavior relates to your physical, emotional, and spiritual well-being and how it affects others. We haven't even talked about others. We've been focused on feeling our own pain and waiting and patience and all of these things, but how can some of the things that we do when we're not living an awakened life affect other people?
We're one big ball of energy, for lack of a better, you know, I'm not getting scientific here. I'm just saying is we are. We're
one big
vibration. And if you've ever been in a room where everybody's going off the handle, it's like a bee's nest. It's like, there's energy going all over the place and not much of it's positive. Okay? Or the kids are just completely, you know, off the rails in a negative way. You start to get anxiety. You start to take on the energy in the room. And usually what happens is the one that has the most powerful energy beaming off of them will influence the other. Okay, without, you know, getting too scientific here.
Mm-hmm.
Or have you ever heard of, like, earlier in our life, right, two gals sharing an apartment on their way up the career ladder, and next thing you know, they're both menstruating on the same day within a couple of months?
Yeah. Well, I grew
it's
up
energetic.
In a house of eight. I have seven sisters.
Okay,
so.
There you go. It's energy.
It's energy. Definitely energy.
So
yeah.
We affect. So, you know, if your husband is cranky and nothing but cranky and cranky after day after day after day, that's going to affect you. You know, when I work with clients and they're, you know, cranky and on the edge or, you know, on the ledge, so to speak, and we walk them back in and reconnect them to themselves, by the end of the day, I've had to learn to pause, kind of cleanse myself. The last client that I'm with, when I'm at their home, I walk out the door backwards, and I leave that energy behind for the last client. And it's just a ritual I do. Again, awakening that energy is powerful, and we own other people's energy if we're not conscious of that. And so I leave, and again, I'm working with a therapist and a psychiatrist right now on many different things, to reconnect themselves with themselves, because they've given their power away so much to their clients that they got a little unbalanced.
Yeah. Now, how do you think, I know we only have a couple minutes left here, because we want to keep this to about half an hour, don't we?
Okay, you make the call.
It's up to you. We're kind of doing really well. I just don't know how much time you have. I've got time enough, but want to do another 10 minutes maybe?
Absolutely.
So, okay, we'll see how it is in another 10 minutes. But, you know, when you're talking about, you know, you were talking about two people, again, who gave away their power and so forth, and maybe unknowingly also, because as you absorb other people's stuff, you're doing that. You're just absorbing it. You might not even realize it. But how do people stop and recognize that they need to pause and take some responsibility for themselves, for their choices, for their actions, and, you know, just kind of for themselves overall. How do you, where, it could be a wake-up call, like, you know, a toe stubbing or something like that, but if it's not that, how do you recognize that you're, some people go on and on and on and they never realize they're in pain. Do you know what
right,
I'm trying to say?
The
how
denial,
do you,
sure. Because yeah. the denial, okay, is so strong or habitual. It's a practice. You know, when you do a bicep curl, a push-up, learn to ride a bike, change your eating behavior, start a walking program. When you embrace the idea of love is acceptance and not agreement, you know, it takes practice. It takes conscious awareness. So I always ask people to slow their pace. It's they got to start by having a willing, a ready. So there's a willingness, a readiness, and a worthiness. And it all starts down in honoring yourself. And realizing one simple concept, and that is suffering and pain is an indication of imbalance. And it's part of everybody's life. It's going to happen the rest of our lives, but less and less and less if we're consciously aware. So I call it course correcting or just catching yourself. To catch yourself, you just have to pause and feel. Now, if you're on alcohol, you gotta not drink for 2 or 3 days because it's going to be in your system for that long. You're going to have to understand that alcohol is a depressant, even though it numbs you and it feels good when you don't have to worry about something. It's in your system for 3 days as a depressant, so there's a little low ebb. So it's typical, and it's sugar. So what happens when you don't have sugar for a while? You want to go get more sugar. So you start taking another choice, another decision to have it again. So then you get fired up temporarily from the jolt of the sugar, and then 2 or 3 days later you're depressed. Oh, I'm so depressed, I need to have my drink again. And you just need to understand that, acknowledge that, accept that. So there's a lot of... And I know a lot of our speakers talk about in our Motivation Marathon crew about acceptance. This is a form of love, just acceptance that you're just not light. You're light and you're stuff, I call it, your little kid. And that speed isn't the best thing. And shortcutting things isn't the best thing. But experiencing things is. And to fully experience it, instead of deny it with either these outside agents or shut down. We call it stuffing. Stuffing way down inside. Okay? That's a practice. And when you sometimes, and I recommend this, Elizabeth, is that when you at least acknowledge, starting with acknowledgement, it starts the healing program and process. But you might need some assistance to walk you through some steps. So the first step of awakening is understand underneath is your real self. You know, I dated this girl early in my career, my athletic career, on the way up. And she was an athlete. And she was an amazing world-class athlete. And I may have mentioned this to you before. Took her to the World Championships. She won a silver medal. But her parents wanted her to be a computer-oriented, like, graphic designer. And programmer. And they were constantly demanding she go make money, go make money, go make money, go be a designer, go be a designer, go be a designer. And she's like, I want to be an athlete, I want to be an athlete, I want to be an athlete. So she was constantly in conflict with her creative self and her the power of her folks she gave them. And she was a mess for all the years we were together, and I stepped back and asked her to get some support and some help and some therapy to look deep down inside of what she truly desired, no matter what her folks wanted her to do. And there's plenty of years to make money, and if she does it right, and the track that she was on, there'll be plenty of money from sponsorships and relationships. And she was, you know, beautiful as well, so she could model clothes and she could be a spokesperson and so forth and so on. But she was at odds. So it's having the courage, acknowledging who you really are deep down inside. Like, I really want to sing. I really want to paint. I really want to ice skate. I really want to do this, as well as have a life or a form of lifestyle. So take some courage. But if you can't, if you seem to get to it and not stick with it, you can get some assistance. Like yourself, myself, you can get some therapy, you can get some, there's programs to go to. And before we wrap this up today, too, I want to give you the 4 or 5 steps that sure. you go through so that everybody can write these down and at least see them on a piece of paper. Some people really like that when they can see it.
Okay. So the first one is acknowledging.
The first one is understand deep down inside there's the real you. And all you got to ask yourself is, are you really living the real you? Like,
yeah.
honestly.
I can relate to that story of the conflict. I can remember myself being a very good tap dancer, singer, dancer, you know, all that stuff, and wanting to go to Juilliard. My parents saying, no, you'll be dead. You can't go from Iowa to New York. You can't do things like that. You know, they'll mug you. They'll kill you. They'll do everything. You know, you're from
sure.
Iowa kind of thing. And my parents washing it. I mean, completely. No offense. I love you, Mom and Dad. You know, we've gone over this a lot of times.
Sure.
But, you
Why
know,
you forgive
I don't rip
them.
In my mom and dad. Love you guys. But I know that feeling of the when some you know somebody of us and this happens to us as women too, because guys too, I'm sure, but women are phenomenal people pleasers. We want to always be, you love me, you love me, you love me, you know, you're great, you're great, you're great, you know, kind of thing, and we love to please people. So I can feel that conflict she was probably in of wanting to please her parents and please herself, and it being just completely, you know, two ends of the spectrum completely. And I think a lot of people, That hits so hard. I bet we just touched so many lives right there with that example. Especially women, we struggle with that all the time. That is like the king struggle of girldom right there.
And if we do enough shows, everybody will know every relationship I've had, how my folks are, who every relative I have is. No, it's funny. No, I laugh.
They know everything about me already, too. So don't
exactly.
worry about
well, but I laugh because mm-hmm. each one of these experiences was a call to awaken. Awaken to what? Awaken to who I really was. If there's one thing, I bless my mom and my dad. And again, my sister, she's a little more, you know, guiding, if you will. That's a really mm-hmm. polite word. You know, you really should do that. You know, she had to learn that, you know, she backs off. Now, oh, Gary's going to do what he's going to do.
Yeah, that's what my parents are not too.
Because he's connected to yeah. what he really desires, not because he's off the rails and he's got some wild ass idea that's gonna, you know, no. They also know if he's connected and it is off the rails a little bit, and I fall on my face, that was supposed to happen.
Yep.
So we are where we're supposed to be in life. Okay. So if you're in that Little League wild, crazy dad going off or something like that, you're supposed to be there. You're supposed to see this happening. You're supposed to understand, oh, he's got two people in him, the little pissy kid and the little light, and he's being the other thing, the pissy kid right now. And you got to just let him do that. You can't tell him what to do or control him or anything like that. And so the story you have about Juilliard is now learn from that. That's your call to awaken about how to empower your kids.
Yeah, that's definitely.
If they
want
to go to baseball camp,
you
know, they want to go to baseball camp or Juilliard or whatever, you got to pause and say, you know, make your decision for you. I'm assisting you saying, pause. That's the moment you pause and go, whoa, wow, this happened to me. Isn't this kind of interesting? And just take a few days with it and sit with it and talk about it with your partner, your husband and your kids and whatever and what that takes. Because you can't just have that whim, that emotion, like, oh, I want to be a singer. No, you have to then do the work. You got to take action steps. So we were talking about these steps. The first was this awakening is all about deep down inside, you either are or are not living your true light, your awesome self. And if you're not, there's some angst. There's some anxiety. There's some, like, little thing in the side. Most people call that pain psychologically. We call that pain, but some people don't refer to it as pain because it doesn't really hurt. It's just that little gnawing thing in the side that I should, really should paint. Okay, that's what we call pain. Just come out of denial about that. So the first step is come out of denial. To come out of denial, that's a big step right there. That's acknowledging that you're not quite doing everything you really want to achieve or do or say or be. I've always wanted to say this to my partner, and I don't know how to say it, and I'm so scared, and I don't have the courage to do it. No, come out of that. It's okay. There'll be forgiveness somewhere along the line. So the first step is come out of denial. But to come out of denial, that means, maybe you have to acknowledge you're drinking too much, running too much, eating too much, in denial about your feelings. That's a big step. Two is see your little kid, your dark, your shadow, your wound. Just see it. Just acknowledge it. Wow, I'm being this pissy little kid that's in denial, so I'm just going to go for another run. So step one is come out of denial. Step two is to see that you have this other part of you. Step three is to connect with your real self again. Remember who you really are and be okay with that. It's enough. So the gal I was dating, again, my friends here probably know who I'm talking about. Beautiful gal. I don't mind if she was on the phone right now. Just beautiful gal, amazing athlete, and conflicted. Connect with her true core self, I would recommend. Mm-hmm. And then she'd go that way. And then her folks would call and she'd sway that way. And I was like, whoa, I'm really not. I know I'm suggesting, assisting her, but I got to back off here. I got to allow her some space to do it herself and make her own decision.
Yeah.
So here's a little sidebar if people are taking notes. In your relationship with your partner, does your partner have the space in their heart and in their being to be who they really are for you, with you?
Say it again. Does your partner have the space to be? Does your partner have the space?
Space
enough,
in their heart.
In their heart.
Or their environment and their being.
To be who they really are.
To be who they really are. For instance, are you smothering them?
That's fun.
Are you jamming a checklist in front of them all the time?
Yeah.
Do they even know they have the option to be themselves? Are they been voicing it and you finally hear it, but we've heard it because we're talking in a way that's kind of our hair down and we have create a little safe environment here for 30 or 45 minutes about talking about this kind of stuff on some sort of ongoing basis now, where we'll keep this kind of deep and den going, our community, let's say. Maybe you realize you're not giving that person space, or they've been shouting for love and attention and affection, and you're now just realizing that's what really it is. Okay, that was a little sidebar off ramp we took there. But that's all about connecting with your true self, so you can hear that.
Yeah.
So the step one is come out of denial, which is a big step. Two is see your shadow or see that little kid, how you can be emotionally reactive, lose your cool, and know that needs a little attention as well. Three, come back. Step three is connect with who you really, really are. Is that who you really are, flying off the handle all the time, or are you really a pretty cool person and do have loving kindness and compassion?
Yeah.
And then step four is see those judgments. See these judgments you make all the time. oh, they're too big. Oh, they're too pissed off. Oh, they're this. They're that. Oh, I hate that. Oh, gosh, look at her trying to do that. Oh, that other mother over there. Da-da-da-da. I mean, just judging. Mm-hmm. Stop that. That's, again, we talked about above the line and below the line energy, or us as beings are an energy. Put me in a room with somebody who's judging everything and everybody. I don't want to be in that room. For instance, just one little quickie is it's important. My massage therapist is an important choice for me because they are energy, and their hands are going to be touching me, and their hands are going to be healing or not based if they just got in an argument with their partner.
Oh, that's like a hairdresser. You know you're getting a bad haircut if somebody touches your hair after they've been fighting with somebody or something.
Bingo.
Yeah, that's
bingo. So anybody in your world, right?
Yeah,
but
energy,
you flip it around.
So.
You and somebody else's world. How pissy are you?
Yeah.
How awesome are you to be with right now? You know? And so how do we connect to our core step? How do we connect to that step three? How do we connect to our core step self and that step four? How do we own our judgments? And that's by bringing some self-care, self-love to ourselves. Reestablishing peace.
I always want to wear this T-shirt that says, "You don't know my life." You know, kind of like,
that's right.
You know, for the people who are judging, you know, it's like, you know, you don't know my life exactly.
Well,
you know, so.
Well, I call it trespassing. So
yeah.
When they judge to themselves, they're really abusive to themselves.
Yeah.
And when they judge others, but they do it out loud so everybody and every friend can hear it, they're trespassing. That energy's got to, you know, be held.
Yeah, so there's a boundary there for sure. When somebody, like, you know, when somebody blows up at their kid or whatever at Little League, it's like, having a bad day, huh? You know, kind of thing.
You know, like,
you
like beautiful
no
Melanie. Oh, like beautiful Melanie. Oh, she's got no arms and no legs. You know, no. Have you met her? Oh, my God. She'll inspire you for the rest of your life.
Yeah, exactly.
You know?
She's my Karen Falk, probably. My friend was just casually driving to her job. She's from Minnesota, and she was in Texas on assignment. Driving to her job in Texas and was hit, what do they call it, broadsided by a car doing 90 miles an hour, their SUV. My ex-husband was in the car, and Karen was in the car. My ex-husband was ejected from the car, and Karen is paralyzed from the neck down. And her name's Karen Falk, and I talk about her on Best Ever You for years now. We featured her and so forth, and she has the spirit of a million of us combined. You know, she's just phenomenal. And she got up from that and said, you know, I'm not going to be a victim. I'm going to go through my life with a smile on my face and power.
Because
and she's amazing.
She connected to that, right? Because that kept her alive in those times of shock and stress.
Yeah.
So that's kind of where we're at. It's like underneath this amazing being now, it could be right there, and you do. So the question is, in your 24/7, do you live, you know, 80% of the time from your light and 20% from your little kid or your dark? Or do you live 80% from your dark and 20% from your light? Like, for instance, your dark could just be not really dark, not like you're going to rob somebody or something like that, but maybe you just have fear. Maybe you're just scared. And remember, fear is a big kind of tool here to note. And we've talked about this many times, but I keep coming back to this fundamental. Fear is whipping your mind up in the future. Oh, yeah, in 3 days. Or fear. Oh, yeah, well, you mean then I'd have to be on my own, or I'd have to, like, actually do all those action steps? Why are you even there right now?
Yeah.
Right now is all you have. Our happiness comes from right now. Our healing happens in the now. It doesn't happen 2 hours ago. It doesn't happen 6 hours from now. It happens now. Our run, decision to make our run, our decision to get out of denial happens right now. And we have these now moments, one after another, after another, after another, every day. So it's like the marathon, 44,000 steps, one at a time. Ask each marathoner to just come back to their next footstep, and they'll probably make some really great decisions in that race.
It's funny that you just said that, because the whole time you were talking there, I'm thinking, okay, we need to do a show about decision making.
Yeah.
Because I think a lot of the times people live in fear based on whether they're going to make a right or wrong choice or a right or wrong decision, and they can't predict the future, and they can't, they don't know whether they're going to be okay or not, you know, that kind of thing. And that could be a really interesting show to do.
Well, it's such an illusion. It's an illusion. It's not even real. Now, think about that. You're making your decisions in your life based on something not real. How upside down wacky is that? And absurd, right? But guess what? It doesn't feel like it's not real. It feels real. So real that it whips you up.
It's like you can't, like, for example, an example in my life, decide whether or not you're going to move to California or not. I could sit here all day long and go, well, I better not because, you know, Connor might be on drugs or Quinn might get bullied or, you know, I could be in fear mode.
And 2 weeks after you move here, he's a starting shortstop for USC.
You have no
idea what's going to happen.
No idea, yeah. And so what I was thinking, because, you know, when you have to make, sometimes life forces your hand where you have to make a choice or a decision, and you don't know whether you're going to do it right or wrong, and who knows. But you can't, one of the things that you can't do in all of this also is you can't really force the future. That's what I was thinking about today. I'm like, you know, earlier today, I'm like, you know, the future kind of has to unfold a little bit too. I wondered what you thought of that. You can't force the future.
No, you have you just have now. And you're the author of every next now.
I love that.
So how do you want to write it?
Every next now. I'm going to tweet that out when we're done. The author.
Sure. Of every next moment.
Of every next now or moment. Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Tell me, what was number five? Because I don't have number five written down.
Number five is really to do this. It's reestablishing peace in yourself is all about reconnecting. And I'll use a couple of different words to say it. All about reconnecting to caring, to compassion, which is all love. It's reconnecting to self-care, self-love.
You're
not beating yourself up.
Self-love, self-worth.
Yeah, it's the opposite of beating yourself up. It's taking the pressure off. Saying, and I have one quick tool, and you've heard it before, keeping it simple, right, is it's okay. Like something happens and you want to move to California in 10 days from now and it's going to be 10 months from now. It's okay.
It's okay.
But when it happens, you're like, oh, my God, and we had all these plans and, oh, what's going to happen? And, oh, geez, and, beat myself up. I'm like, huh?
I got to tell you, you know, having moved from California in 2004 to Maine, there is no way in the world I could have ever predicted half of the things that have happened to me since I made that move that are wonderful, tremendous, amazing. You know, but had I sat back in California and said, oh, I better not move all the way across the country with my 25,000 pounds of stuff, my four kids that were 3, 5, 7, and 9, and my three cats, I could have really, there are a lot of things where you can spin in fear. You really can. Fear can be the root of all problem. Before we go, we've almost used up the whole hour. I'm sorry because we're going and going, but I thought
fancy
we would
that.
Anyway. But do you fancy think fear that. Can stop you in your tracks from even getting to number one?
Paralyzes you when you buy into it. So it's really about acknowledging maybe just slight slice of information, education, learning, what is fear, right? The old classic analogy is F-E-A-R, false evidence appearing real, right? F-E-A-R. And, I created a new one called CARE, C-A-R-E. That's compassionate.
Nice.
Compassionate for C, awakened for A, responsible for R, and enlightened for E, care. So coming back to your core self comes from care, compassionate, awakened, responsible, and enlightened. Coming back to your light, making decisions from your light, your best self. So when you're in fear is you're coming from not enough. You're coming from not enoughness. unworthiness.
Yeah.
When you're worthy, you know. When you're enough,
you come
oh well,
fear.
you don't get power to fear.
Yeah. You know, the other thing too, talking about choices, going back there, because I think choices, what I think is sort of irrelevant here in a way, because, you know, it's just kind of what I think. It might not be what everybody else thinks or anything like that, but choices seem to really play a big part in all of this as well. You can make, do you think you can make a conscious choice not to live in fear mode?
Choice is, there is no wrong or right. There just is. So
well,
when you make a choice,
before, there is no wrong or right. There just is. So when you make
right,
a choice,
or what a right choice, what a wrong choice. No, that's judging. There's just choice. So when you make a choice, it creates a certain creativity. It creates a result. And then acknowledging, mindful, is all about acknowledging, observing now. So when you're mindful of that result, you see it's on course or off course.
I like that. So you can feel, so that's the feeling you feel when you go, ooh, that might not have been so good to do. That's just whether it's on. Because, you know, where I was going to go was back to a story about drinking, if you don't mind, because one of the choices I made a very long time ago was to not ever do that again. And really what it was is, I mean, I had a great, go ahead.
I was just going to say, may I add, you know, we've brought that up, but, you know, there's a place and a time, and it's not about right or wrong. It's about being aware. It's about the call to awaken. What does it do for you? And are you aware that it's just celebratory? Is it just over dinner? Is it trying to get away from your denying your feelings? You're right. Just know what it is.
To drink.
Any
definitely.
Of those things. Shopping.
Yeah.
You could overshop.
Yeah.
You know?
Shoes are wonderful, but you know, I was thinking about this. You know, I am I really could be a really good drinker, and I this one time we had a those sorority fraternity days they have in college. They had games, and they weren't supposed to do this back then, but ours were surrounded by drinking, and they had this wheelbarrow game, and it involved mud and frat boys and girls and everything, and you had to. The guy had to take your feet, and you had to walk in the mud in your hands, and at the end of the line, you had to take a shot of something. And then you had to switch and hold his feet and go back and take a shot of something. Well, I was a gymnast, so I was really good at that game. And I can, you know, if you can only imagine how many shots of whatever it was I was drinking in the mud, you know, all that stuff. And I had to go home that day. I had to get on a bus and go from the University of Iowa back home to Davenport, Iowa. And my dad was going to pick me up off the bus. So somehow, I have no idea. I can't even remember how I got on that bus, but I remember getting off of that bus because my dad literally caught me, like as I fell like off the bus. And my dad was just like, "Oh my God, what are you doing at college?" kind of thing. And I think everybody does that stuff, but and maybe they don't.
Most
maybe
people
they do.
For those that have those kinds of experiences, they have one last one.
Yeah. Oh, that was.
And then they don't.
I'm not kidding. That was my one.
Right.
And I know I took up time with the story and everything, but that was my one. And I'm just like, you know, this is as I had kids and so forth. I remembered the hangover that came, you know, the 4 days after that or whatever it was that I was so sick from alcohol poisoning.
You mean the hangover was the call to awaken.
Yeah. And as I had kids, I'm like, I'm not going to drink that. I'm not going to feel like that again kind of thing.
No.
And I just never really ever have, you know, done anything like that again. And I think that's when I say choices and things like that, you know something's right or wrong for you. And sometimes it takes the experience to know whether it's right or wrong for you also.
Absolutely. And practice.
Yeah.
So to go from complete denial and living a life that other people are influencing, partner and the kids and the parents, and you're living their life they want you to live. And going from someone like that to your own itself,
yeah,
is a project, is a big piece of work, and to be okay with that. Mm-hmm. And there is no exact time frame. It's going to take what it's going to take, whether it's a month or a year or 3 years. You know, it's okay as long mm-hmm. as you're growing and learning and creative along the way, but clearly as long as you're honest and there's integrity and it's good for you and good for them and good for the world. And yeah, it's don't think it's just going to happen, and because I get that all the time, and that's usually from the speed demons, and they're like, you know, oh yeah, I can do a marathon in 27 days, and I can do that and there, and watch me do that, and watch me skip these 7 steps, and no,
good luck.
Yeah,
forever.
That's posing, and then they're putting on another mask. How are you doing today? Oh, I'm awesome. Really? Yeah, I don't think so.
We scratch below the surface a little bit and see how you really are.
Right.
Yeah, all right.
Yeah,
well,
right.
So
anyway,
it's
a big piece of work, so I want everybody to know is in a half hour to 60 minutes, we can just touch the surface.
Yeah, exactly. All right. Well, thank you for being with us. It's always just such a wonderful learning experience to be able to talk with you, and I'm sure people in the chat room thoroughly enjoyed this conversation. So,
thank you, and I'd love to come back, and we'll pick another topic,
yeah,
and we'll create another safe environment to just, you know, let our hair down and let it rip.
Perfect. All right. Have a great day.
Okay. You too. Bye.
All right. Bye.
Thanks for listening to the Best Ever You Show. Want more? Visit us at besteveryou.com. Be your best and keep it real. Confident, successful, caring, and beautiful every day with Best Ever You.